All right, so this morning we're going to be in Psalm 107. I know I mentioned 1 Timothy. We'll be there next week. We've been studying through Old Testament books for a few years, a couple years now. So we'll spend a little time, at least 1 and 2 Timothy, and then see what the Lord has for us from there. But I was reading this week, and you know how sometimes something just leaps off the page, right? And God shared to share this today, you know, and it's from a perspective of just the goodness of God, the fact that God is in control. You know, I kind of play around with my title. You know, in teaching, I like to have ideally a title that will kind of stick with folks. You know, I mean, it's like the column. Kind of the debate, you know, there used to be, what is that in the Dear Editor or whatever in the paper back when there were papers. And, you know, there's kind of this debate about, oh, what value is, you know, church? You know, I've been going to church my whole life. And, you know, yes, I can't remember, you asked me, I can't remember a message from, you know, a month ago, much less, you know, 3 years ago. What value was it? And so the kind of this debate about, you know, don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together and the importance of being in the Word. You know, finally somebody wrote, he said, you know, I've been married now for, you know, 30 years. And over those 30 years, my wife has made a lot of meals for me. And, you know, I don't remember every single one of them, but I'm glad I ate them. You know, and so the idea is like, yeah, you know, you might not remember everything about every message. But like, anyways, trying to have some takeaways, right? And then, of course, the Holy Spirit works as we teach and as we get into God's Word, really the gift of the prophetic word, right? The prophecy and speaking forth God's Word. And so how God uses that in unique ways. But anyways, I kind of had a working title, and I realized it was a little, I don't want to say sarcastic, but maybe, right? Because you've heard me talking in the recent weeks about some of the, you know, almost this anticipation of 2021 and sort of this thought that all of a sudden at midnight, everything, you know, hallelujah, you know, the light's going to shine down from heaven and roses and just how that's just not, you know, realistic, right? I mean, I love, in the general sense, I really appreciate kind of the new year and the opportunity to reflect and repent, you know, as needed, but that's kind of true every day, but really this unique reminder and opportunity. And I was at the gym on New Year's, believe it or not. And that's one downside of doing the, I think I was on the elliptical there, is like all these TVs and it's just like, you know, hopefully there's something that you can watch that's decent. You know what I mean? And, but one of them said, was a news channel and the title of their show was Back on Track, Back on Track. And I thought, there we go again. Right? I mean, even, and I don't remember specifically, but which one, and I thought, that, you know, here we go, right? So back on track all of a sudden. I guess everything's great, you know? It's January 1st, 2021, and we're back on track. It's like, really? So I almost titled the message that with question marks afterwards, but then I thought, you know what? Forget that. I don't want to let a news channel dictate. So the title this morning is Making Gratitude a Daily Habit. Making gratitude a daily habit, because you know, there's no promise that all of a sudden everything externally is going to be great. I hope it is. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I love it if everything's, you know, smooth sailing, right? All of a sudden the virus is gone, and all of a sudden, you know, everything that we like things to go politically, go how we like them to go, and if all of a sudden everybody's healthy and everybody has their bills paid and, you know, nobody's unemployed. But like, that's just, you know what I mean? I would love it if that was the case, but it's not going to be. And so where do we look? And of course, as we've been just sharing in general, our hope is always in Christ as believers, right? And so this really jumped out at me. Psalm 107 is just a great practice for us as we see the psalmist working through a number of different types of life challenges, and then the psalmist's response. which I think is outstanding for us. So again, the theme or what I want to call out in it is making gratitude a daily habit, and I want to encourage us do that, right? Let that be another piece of homework, right? Let gratitude every day be the way that you start your day with gratitude, and there's always something we can be thankful for. I mean, regardless of how dark or how bleak or how difficult life might be, there's always things that we can be grateful for. I mean, we can be grateful as believers for the Lord and our relationship with the Lord, for our salvation, right? He saved us from eternity and hell apart from him, right? By his blood on the cross, and he's given us hope and new life. And I mean, honestly, that in and of itself is amazing, right? As believers. But then you think of all the blessings in this life that he gives us. It's radical and uniquely so here in the Midwest, I think. You know, and so let's look here at the first few verses here in Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, right? And I'm right out of the gate. So I hope your heart just sort of leaps, you know, for his steadfast love endures forever. We could spend the whole next 3 hours. I'm kidding. We could. But we could spend the whole next, you know, 30, 40 minutes on that verse by itself. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And this is foundational, right? Really in life is we have to be resolved in knowing that God is good, right? And that's something that it's important to settle in your heart and your mind before the difficulty comes, right? I mean, you can do it then. It just might be a little more difficult, but it's better to realize, you know, I don't really pretend to understand everything, right? I don't pretend to have life figured out, but I know God is good, right? And let that resolve. I know it because his word says so, right? Throughout the scriptures, in fact, this one psalm, we'll see it a multitude of times. God is good. He's a good God, and he loves us. His steadfast love endures forever. That in and of itself can be the first thing that you thank him for every single day. And you can always thank him for that because his love never changes, right? And so as that is resolved in your heart and your mind, it really changes the challenges that we face, right? Because what's one of the immediate things that we start to think in terms of when difficulty hits? Oh, God's mad at me, right? What did I do? And it's not a bad question to ask, did I do something, right? Well, in fact, we'll see that in here, right? I mean, there are times where things are difficult because of a decision we made. Let's just be honest, right? I mean, we make a poor decision, we sin, and something is difficult as a result. Again, not to beat ourselves up, it's just being real, right? And so in those cases, we repent and we confess and we turn back to the Lord. But there's also times where things are hard and it's no fault of our own. It's just life, right? It's just the challenges of life. But if we are resolved in our hearts and we have decided that our attitude is that God is good, right? And we're going to give thanks to him for his goodness. We're going to give thanks to him for his love. It really changes our perspective as difficulty comes, right? When difficulty comes, let's say that it is. I mean, if we're honest, if it's one of those things that, you know, we sinned and now we're paying the price. If we realize and we are confident that God is good, we don't need to go down the rabbit trail of, well, he's really mad at me, or he doesn't love me anymore, or I've gone too far. I've committed the unpardonable sin, right? You know, I love to hear, sometimes when people ask, you know, how have I committed the unpardonable sin? It's like, well, if you care, you haven't, right? Because if you had, you wouldn't care. And so, but we start to think that, right? We start to think that God's mad at me, or God doesn't love me, or worse yet, God hates me, or I've gone too far. Rather than, in my personal view is if you have breath, there's hope, right? And there's people that might want to split hairs and argue that, and I get it. But like, if you have breath, in my view, you have hope, right? And we can repent and turn to Jesus. And it might mean, I read one time, it is better to repent if it costs you the rest of your life than to not repent and spend eternity apart from the Lord. And that's true, right? So, and some things are more, you know, substantial to overcome than others, but there's always, always, always hope in the Lord. And if we walk into it with a thankful attitude that God is good and that God loves us and that he is for us and his steadfast love endures forever, that really levels the playing field and it really changes things for us. Another good practice in verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and the south, right? And so really, in a sense, you know, as we worship, we're declaring the goodness of the Lord. We're declaring that God is for us and, you know, depending on what we're singing, right? You know, different attributes of his character and of the hope that we have in him. You know, and not only in that, but in our conversation. You know, some people say, you know, I want to share about the Lord. I mean, I see people going through trouble. I see, you know, the suicide rates that have dramatically increased because of the government shutdown, you know, imposed upon people. You know, in California, I read, I mean, months ago, that many doctors were saying they see more suicide deaths than they do COVID deaths. Tragic, you know, and you know, if you think about that, we went through a time here in West Des Moines where it seems like a lot of calls were suicide related. Very, very sad. I mean, a number of years ago. And you know, and not to be morbid, but it caused me to think, like, what must someone go through, like, to get to that point where that seems like the best option? I mean, it breaks your heart. It can't not break your heart. You know, and so I want to share that love. And you might be thinking, you know, I'm redeemed of the Lord, and I want to say so. What can I say? I don't know what to say. And there are certain times where, you know, I went on a call on New Year's Eve, and someone's wife had died unexpectedly, very young. And there's times where there's not a word that's going to fix that. You know, you can be there and you can listen and pray, but there's not a quick fix, right? But we can point people to the Lord, and the thing that you have that nobody can take away and that you can always share are personal testimonies, right? First and foremost, what, you know, how God brought you to himself. You know, and I'm not saying that, you know, I moved on. Not necessarily when someone, you know, just lost somebody, go share a testimony. But I'm saying in general, in terms of all of the loss of hope that is in the world, and we want to help people, and we know that ultimately the answer is in the Lord. You know, I was reading an article just, I think maybe yesterday, day before, about, you know, sort of the quick response. Oh, just trust in Jesus. I mean, yeah. But like that's not really the thing to say at the time, you know what I mean? In terms of sometimes we want to, like, that's the fix for everything, and we realize in the big picture, absolutely, right? But, you know, being there for people and ministering God's love for people, sometimes just encouraging them and just listening and loving on them, and what you can share is what God has done for you. Like I said, both in terms of salvation, how God brought you to himself. And that's kind of a fun thing to, you know, for some of us, it's been a while, right? It's fun to reflect back on, you know, like, well, what did I think at the time? And what was life like? And you know, not that it was, you know, some terrible, you know, experience, right? Here, you know, life before Christ for some of us. It's not like, you know, we're all in this bad place. Maybe some of us, right? But to think of for me, I sort of describe it as from, you know, I was kind of a weekend warrior and always looking forward to like either a trip or a party or some event, you know, frequently. And I was blessed in many, many ways. I'm very, very grateful for that. But like, you know, and then interestingly enough, I read, you know, many Americans report spending 90% of their life waiting for something, you know, rather than just being content, you know. And that's sort of my testimony is like, God, change me. Not that I never get discontent, like I'm human, right? But like, you know, from sort of discontentment to satisfaction, you know, one of my life verses, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed, you know, you shall be free indeed. And just that new life, that hope, that kind of just zeal for being alive because of all that God has done. And so let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And you can always say so about what God's done for you. No one can take that away. You might not feel comfortable arguing creation over evolution, although I encourage you to study it because it's overwhelming, right? You might not be comfortable arguing the immutable fact, I mean, absolute fact of the resurrection of Christ, right, with certain people. I encourage you to study it because it's indisputable. The evidence is absolutely overwhelming, right? But you can be comfortable sharing your testimony. You can be comfortable letting the redeemed of the Lord say so, right? What God has done in your life. And then study up and pray up on those other things because it's all, you know, God has given us a very reasonable faith. Right, I mean, from in every level, and I love that about the Lord. Right, our faith is being confident of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Not blindly trusting, but certain of what we don't see. Right, because it's evident. Verse 4: Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them. And He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. And so we see here a people or a people group or maybe times in our lives where we just feel like we're wandering in desert places. You know, this is, I get the idea here of just being sort of lost. Like and really and truly we all are before we come to Christ. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I think of John, you know, 9 and the religious leaders, you know, kind of really persecuting, you know, here's a guy who was blind his whole life, and Jesus comes along and heals him. And all the religious leaders can do is persecute, you know, criticize Jesus for doing it on the Sabbath and question him and his parents and bring fear. And the guy finally I sort of picture it as him as being sort of just frustrated. Look, you know, I don't know a lot, but all I know is I was blind and now I can see, right? It's like, I'm healed, and I'm not going to worry about all the minutiae of the details that you guys are splitting hairs over, right? And I love that, you know, about the Lord and just the grace of the Lord and the simplicity and just enjoying Him. And so we too, who were blind and now we see, we just sort of wandered lost. And I think of my life, you know, before the Lord, and in many ways, you know, again, very blessed in many ways, but just, you know, in many ways, just sort of lost and always looking because there was this void, right, that only God can fill. And so he maybe many wandering, right, just sort of with aimlessly. And then they cry to the Lord. And that's such key, right? Turn to the Lord. Repent of our own ways. And trust in Him, follow Him, and then check this out. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city. You kind of go from this sort of homeless, wandering state to a state of settledness, right? And that's another thing I often share about is just this settledness, right? And Peter tells us that, you know, yeah, there's going to be challenges, there's going to be difficulties, but God will use those things to settle you, to mature you, to help you to grow and sort of this settledness. And we see that here. And then key, and this is something that's easy to forget. Verse 8, let them thank the Lord. How many times, right? When, you know, God does something and we're just, all right, I'll move on. You know, what's next? You know, I'm guilty as charged, right? Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. You know what? This was true in all year last year. Right? God was good all year last year. We could have been thankful every day last year, right? For God's goodness and for his love, for his leading us and for his guiding us, for his provision for us, and for his wonderful work to the children of man, and for he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. And is that part of your testimony? That's part of my testimony, right? He satisfies the longing soul, and he fills us with good things, right? It's so refreshing and a blessing to belong to the Lord and to be in the Lord. And he does this, right? And there's times we have to remind ourselves, because life can be challenging. Life can be difficult, right? We did experience a challenging year in 2020. That part is true. You know, it may get better in 2021. It may get worse in 2021. I don't know, right? We can't predict the future in that regard. But either way, God is good. I hope, like I said, I'm not hoping for it to be challenging, right? But God is good no matter what. And that's the takeaway. That's what we need to realize and to turn to the Lord, as we read here. Cry to the Lord and watch what he does. Trust in his grace, in his love, in his goodness. You know, you've probably seen that, I don't know if it's a poem or whatever, but called Footprints, and, you know, a picture of the, you know, like there's the two sets of footprints and then there's one for a while. And, you know, it's not that God left them. It's that God is carrying the person, right? You know, when the going gets really tough, God is always there. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And so thank the Lord, right? We see here, we can thank the Lord for saving us, for guiding us, and even carrying us as needed. I love that. He won't leave us or forsake us. So we see here so many things that we can be thankful for his goodness and for his love, right? For him redeeming us, those of us who have come to faith. And if you haven't come to faith, if you don't have that confidence in your salvation, that, you know, if you die tonight, would you wake up in heaven with the Lord? And if you don't have that confidence, then surrender to the Lord, right? Place your trust. The Bible says these things are written so that you may know you have eternal life. Right? We don't have to guess. We don't have to, you know, think or you know, think aimlessly or hopelessly, right? We can know these things are written so we may know by coming to Christ on his terms. And that's realizing that we're sinners, that he died on the cross for our sin, and he's the only way that we can be forgiven. And that we are reconciled with him by placing our trust and our faith in the Lord. And if you haven't done that, today, do it. Let today be the day of salvation. In fact, the Bible says that, so it's a good idea. Let today be the day of salvation if you haven't experienced that, if you haven't taken that step and receiving the forgiveness that is in the Lord. And so his redemption and his purpose, right, from this sort of wandering and hapless existence to a life of purpose. And God has a purpose for everybody. You know, I want to, you know, if you could just get in front of some of, you know, these folks that just have lost hope so drastically, and share with them the purpose that God has for them, the meaning in their life, that there's not a meaningless life. There's not a life that doesn't matter, regardless of the ridiculous messages from our culture and the ridiculous lack of focus on life in our culture, and honoring life and showing dignity to life at all ages and all stages. There is purpose and there is meaning, and we can share that, and we see that here, from this sort of hapless existence to purpose and to meaning, and being put on this path for the Lord. And I'm just so grateful for that. And then verse 10 says, some sat in darkness. So we see here, you know, folks that were prisoners and trapped. And in some cases, we see by their own choices. Some sat in the darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So people that are in dark, dark places, perhaps in prison, literally in some cases, perhaps in prison figuratively or experientially in their mind in some cases. But here we read some because they had rebelled against the Lord, right? And there's people that are in a bad, bad place because they have rebelled against the Lord. They have spurned the counsel of the Most High, or disobey the Lord is the idea there. God says, go this way, and I'm going to go this way, right? God says, don't do this, but I'm going to do it anyways. Or God says, do this, and I'm going to do that. And so they disregard the Lord and the teaching of the Lord, and they find themselves in this dark place, prisoners in a sense, right? In irons, right? That's the idea there. And so verse 12 says, he bowed their hearts down with hard labor, and they fell down with none to help. Man, you get to, you know, such a dark, dark place. You know, and I love, you know, we're all familiar with Samson, right? You know, this mighty man of valor. You know, I was in fact, this morning I was scrolling through something, Instagram maybe. My daughter helped me get set up on that. And so I think I'm in the 20th century now. But so you can search for me if you want. But anyways, what was I talking about? Oh, even Dwayne Johnson, who I have a lot of respect for his hard work and you know, maybe not some of his ideologies, but his hard work ethic I respect. You know, he's a hard worker and disciplined in that regard. But he was kind of, in fact, he was talking about, and I'm using words I won't use, but about 2020 being in the rearview mirror, you know, and being in the past in 2021. I'm like, man, even the Rock Johnson, you know, he was, you know, troubled by it, which I get, right, of course. And but scrolling through that just thinking of man, the hope that we have constantly in the Lord, and here, you know, they get to such like so many in 2020, you know, and just in life in general, honestly, to this dark, dark place. And verse 13, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. I love it. Just so simple. Oh, and I know where I was going with that. Okay, so back up. So Samson, right? And then he made me think of the Rock. Anyways, so this big, right, monstrous, strong guy, right? And you think of Samson, and so he, you know, but his strength wasn't in his his muscles. His strength ultimately was in the Lord, right? And he kind of gives away his secret to Delilah, and he ends up a slave with his eyes gouged out. And I love this little phrase, right, in the midst of this dark time in his life, right, where, right, because remember what his secret was, his hair, right? And so they shaved his hair and he lost all his strength. And at the end of the day, he's in this dungeon. He's basically doing the job of a donkey. So talk about a dark place, right? Humiliated, very dark for him. His eyes were gouged out. But this little phrase says, but his hair began to grow back. I love that. I love that about the Lord, right? The grace of God, even in the midst of, in his case, punishment, and hope springs forth. I'm so grateful for that, right? They cried to their Lord. So they're in this very dark, dark place, right? Because they had rebelled against the Lord. Right? Maybe some of us have been there. Maybe there are some who are there now, right? In a dark place because of rebellion. Look up, cry to the Lord, verse 13. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. I mean, we're not talking about crawling. He burst their bonds apart, man. They're set free. You know, it's radical. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. And we'll see that phrase repeated a number of times, which is part of the reason for the title, right? Making gratitude a daily habit. What is that? You try something for 21 days and it becomes a habit or something like that. All right, so start giving thanks to the Lord, and because it's a choice, right? Habits are choices that we make. And so he shatters the doors of bronze and he cuts into the bars of iron. Radical, radical stuff that God does here. And so we see here in this section, right, something else we can be thankful for is we can thank the Lord for freeing repentant prisoners formerly trapped by their own choices, like us, like we were at a point in time, right? God frees repentant sinners, repentant prisoners, as we see here, and it's awesome, right? And the good news is this. It's not dependent upon what our nation does, thankfully. It's not dependent upon what our community does, right? I'm praying for revival in Iowa, you know. Praying for revival in central Iowa, believing God for that. But the good news is, right, this is done on an individual basis. I mean, repentance, right, personal revival is on an individual basis, right? He's so gracious, right? He'll follow. He'll chase. He loves us too much to leave us alone in our waywardness. He might let us be there for some time, right? But he loves us too much to leave us there. He'll follow us. He'll chase us, right? Some people, you know, refer to God as the hound of heaven and some in a bad way, but I'm thankful, right? Like a hound on a scent. You know, we've got a blue tick coon hound, and one good thing that came in the derecho is we had to get rid of that darn tree that the squirrels would literally, they'd laugh at her. I'm convinced, you hear them. I recorded it one time. They get up on the tree and they laugh, and she barks her head off. She gets on that scent, you know? And won't go away, and you think of the hound of heaven, God, who is coming after us because he loves us. He loves us too much to leave us alone, and so turn and surrender to him. Enjoy him. Be blessed by the blessing that is to be him. Be in him, right? As I mentioned earlier, John chapter 8 and verse 36, the Son, who the Son sets free, they're free indeed, and I so appreciate that. So thank the Lord for freeing repentant prisoners who were formerly trapped, even by their own poor choices. And then thirdly, as we dive into verse 17, thank the Lord for being so gracious to us and hearing us, even when we don't deserve it, right? Which is regularly, right? God hears us all the time. Verse 17, some were fools through their sinful ways. Yeah, right? If we're honest. Right, make choices to disobey the Lord. It's foolish, you know. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities, suffered affliction. Again, you know, there's times where our choices are costly. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Again, talk about a low place. But they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and what did he do? He delivered them from their distress. Memorize that little phrase, right? We see it a few times here. He sent out his word and he healed them and he delivered them from their destruction. So important that we're grounded in God's word. So we have God's promises, right? To recall and to bring to mind and to stake our lives on, to base our decisions upon, right? His word brings healing. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Another reminder there. And let them offer sacrifices, what? Of, surprise, thanksgiving. There we go again, that gratitude, right? Giving thanks to tell of his deeds and songs of joy. Again, that's something that you can always share, right? You may not feel comfortable getting up next Sunday and giving a message, but you can always share with someone after service what God has done for you. You can always share with a friend, or what God has done for you, invite them out. I'll be happy to get up in front and share with them the gospel, right? You know, we can all be part of the kingdom and spreading the hope that is in the Lord. So thank the Lord for being so gracious. You know, it reminds me of David, you know, of Peter, right, who through being humbled, right, found their way back, and no doubt are truly grateful for that. You know, David, we've talked about, you know, really the key in my mind in his life, he was a repentant man. He was not a perfect man. Who of us would like our worst days recorded for all of eternity? His are, you know. And yet, he was a repentant man. And God calls him a man after his own heart. That's radical. That's grace. That's love. It doesn't matter where we came from. It doesn't matter what we've done. Even, you know, we can really beat ourselves up and get ourselves down as believers after, I've been a Christian for 5 years. I've been a Christian for 15 years. I've been a Christian for 30 years. I should know better. And maybe in a way that's true. But guess what? We still fall short, right? And yet we can still repent. King David, so far down the road in his relationship with the Lord, was a repentant man, and God heard him, and God blessed him, and he had challenges as a result of sin, like we see people here. But he was a repentant man, and God calls him a man after that is hope. I love that. I love seeing Peter, right? Who, and Peter writes about, as I just referenced, or, you know, some of the forced humility. You know, though I'll forsake you, Lord, I will not forsake you. And then a little, you know, servant girl in a dark night in the cold because he wants to be warm, right? He's humbled. What does Jesus do? He meets him right there and he restores him. We just studied that in John 21. Radical. I love that. Next we see we can thank the Lord for protecting us even when we're way in over our head. Anybody ever find themselves, Lord, what in the world? Sometimes it's, you know, something, you know, a series of decisions. Sometimes it's like, how did I even get here, right? But way in over our head. Check this out. We'll pick it up in verse 23. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. So they're just kind of going about their thing. They saw the deeds of the Lord as wondrous works in the deep. You know, and I don't know if, you know, I'm amazed by the ocean and the depths of the ocean and even the little I know about it. It's just, it's phenomenal. And, you know, verse 25 says, he commanded and raised the stormy wind with lifted up the waves of the sea, talking about times of just helplessness, the middle of the sea and a storm, you know, just really crying out to the Lord. We see the disciples, right, in a similar situation. And Jesus calming the waves for them. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. You know, just this, you know, out of control. They reeled and they staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Just done, you know, exhausted. Can't go any further. And that's what it takes for some people. Sometimes for us still, right? Lord, I don't know what else to do. I think I'll pray. How about praying first? You know what I mean? Right? But how often do we have to be reminded? Because here, verse 28, then, at their wits' end, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And he just left them hanging. Not good, you guys looked up. No, it doesn't say that, does it? He delivered them again, right? Isn't that amazing? He delivered them. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them in their distress. So gracious. So gracious. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, I bet. And he brought them to their desired haven. And then again, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. Sometimes we might not even realize how deep we're in, right? Until we're out in the wave depths. Or we're completely done, you know, and then cry out to the Lord. And then last but not least, verse 32, you know, I would lump this and thank the Lord for his general blessings. You know, I mean, we wake up in the morning, We have breath in our lungs. You know, today the sun's shining, but the sun's always there, right? We may not see it every single day. But, you know, just God is faithful. And we can always thank the Lord for that. Pick it up in verse 32. Let them extol him or lift him up in the congregation of the people. Well, we did that, right? And praise him in the assembly of the elders. He does what? He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground. You're like, wait a minute, that doesn't sound so good. Well, that's what he can do, right? He does that from time to time, but keep on going. A fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants, right? That's not shocking. It's absolutely within his right. You know, these folks are, you know, he's back on to those who reject him, who choose evil, right? And he can make rivers, you think of, you know, rivers of a picture of abundance, plenty of water, and all the vegetation by the shores grows, and even out a ways, you know, a river just is amazing. Fish for food and everything, and a fruitful land, and he can just turn that, right, a desert. But he also turns a desert into pools of water, and a parched land into springs of water. And there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. You know, God does what he can do, but he expects us to do what we can do. That's super important. You know, our country can learn something from that, right? And it's important, right, that that we look to the Lord, but we're faithful to do what God has called us to do, right? To take those steps of faith, right? Because ultimately we see here what? God's in control. God's in control when the rivers of abundance are turned into a desert. You have plenty and you have nothing. God's in control. But also when you have nothing and it turns into abundance, God's in control. Right? Thank him for that. There he lets the hungry dwell. He establishes, you know, the city in which they live, a place, you know, community and such. And God's in control. By his blessing, they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. Right? God is in control. He was in control in 2020, and he's in control in 2021, and he'll be in control in 2022, just like he always has been, right? When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. Our leaders would be wise to consider this, right? Leaders throughout our country, throughout the world, right? This isn't the end, right? This isn't all, right? Ultimately, the answer to the Lord. He raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things and let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. I love that. Right, you see many great blessings of the Lord, and we see just a beautiful reminder and picture of God's faithfulness, regardless of what's going on, whether it's times of wanting and times of difficulty, whether it's times of great blessing and abundance, or somewhere in between, God is on the throne, and we can give thanks to him. It is good to start our day with thanking the Lord, right? There is always something to be grateful for. Always something to be grateful for. In fact, many of Paul's letters, we see him thanking the Lord for abundant, you know, a multitude of things. It's a great way. You know, throughout the Psalms. I mean, I love, you know, it's interesting, the number of Psalms where you'll read, you're like, oh, this is, you know, David. And, you know, that's not a godly heart, you know. Lord, strike down all of my enemy, right? I mean, David was a real, I like that about us too, right? I think it's kind of real. We're not perfect, but we're working on it, right? And God is faithful, right? But we see so often, like the psalmist starting off, you know, why are you downcast, O my soul? You know, discouraged or frustrated or angry, and maybe even demonstrating or sharing ungodly thoughts. And then all of a sudden, the tone turns, and often you'll see or sense sort of a looking up, looking to the heavens, and a gratitude being a part of that, of what God has done and who God is. He is faithful. You know, in Acts chapter 4, I often like to look at that when the leaders there, the religious leaders, threaten Peter and the apostles for preaching the gospel and honoring the Lord in their lives. And what do they do? Do they go shudder in fear and doubt and quiet down? No, they go and they pray for boldness. And as you read through that prayer in Acts chapter 4, they start off almost like they're reminding God who he is. Oh, God, you created the heavens. But God doesn't need reminded. Who are they really reminding? They're reminding themselves, right? And you get this sense of sort of gratitude, like, oh, this relief of being reminded who the Lord is and how much he loves us, right? We see that. Of course, we even see Jesus often starting off prayers, giving thanks. So, our hope, right? Our hope's not in a new year, right? Our hope is in the one who makes all things new. Amen. That's the Lord Jesus, right? He makes all things new. Revelation chapter 21 and as 2 Corinthians chapter 5 as we referenced, right? So as we head into 2021, I'm excited like everybody. I mean, the New Year's are always kind of cool. Kind of a chance to reflect and kind of reset. But the cool thing is in the Lord, we always have that. So let's stand. We'll close together in prayer, and I want to encourage us, make gratitude a daily habit, and enjoy the Lord. Remember again, our hope is not in the new year or even a new day. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who makes all things new. Father, thank you so much for this truth, Lord. Thank you that you are firmly in control, as we just read, Lord, and we want to start our year off by saying thank you, Lord. Collectively as the congregation, Lord, saying thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done in each of our lives to bring us here. Thank you for the hope that we have in you. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you never leave us, that you never forsake us. Thank you that you do make all things new, and that includes us, and that we are new and we are fresh because of what you have done in our lives, and we thank you for that. God, thank you that you love us so much that you won't leave us alone. Father, even when we feel alone, even when things are difficult, perhaps even when things are difficult because of our own choices, God, you don't leave us, you don't forsake us, you love us enough to show us and to bring us back to yourself, and so we thank you for that. God, you truly are good, you truly are merciful, and we truly are blessed, and we thank you for that, Lord. I ask for each of my brothers and sisters here today, all of those listening, Father, that as we march forth into this new day, this new week, this new year, that you would help us, Father, by your grace and by your mercy and by your power, to do it with an attitude of gratitude. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.